Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, and reads as follows. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, when we pray in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, one of the things that we're asking is that God's kingdom of grace, his church on earth, would come to other people, come to those who are not currently members of his church, be brought into his kingdom by being brought to faith. In this way, we Christians reflect God's desire for all people to be brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and to be saved through faith in him. The Bible says that it brings great joy to the angels of heaven when one single sinner repents and is brought to saving faith. This is because such people have been saved from the wages of their sins, been snatched out of the jaws of eternal death, and saved, put on the pathway to heaven. It is obviously something to rejoice greatly about. In last Sunday's sermon text, which was from later in this same chapter, we observed how God takes care of his believing children, even through much earthly suffering. But our sermon text for today focuses more upon how a person even becomes a child of God in the first place. In other words, how people are rescued from the kingdom of Satan and placed safely into the kingdom of God's grace. Let this then be the focus of our meditation this morning, namely that the kingdom of God is spread through the preaching of his word. And on the basis of our text, we shall first consider the point that God wants his word to be preached throughout the world. And secondly, that God blesses the preaching of his word. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. From Jesus' great commission, it is clear that he wants all people to become his believing disciples through baptism, through the preaching of his word. All people, whether they realize it or not, need God's saving grace, need the forgiveness of sins that's available only through Christ. So they need the saving message of the gospel. And God grants us the ability to bring his saving word to others. You've been taught the word of God. You have it. You know it. You can and should share it with those who still need to hear it, those who are ignorant of it currently. In the first verse of our text, we see the Christian missionaries traveling to a brand new place, a place that they had never before visited. It was Philippi, the main city of that part of Macedonia. But why they decide to go there? Well, in addition to the desire that Paul and Silas had to spread the gospel across the whole world, we learn in one of the verses that come just before our text that God had given a special vision to Paul showing him that he wanted him to go to Philippi in Macedonia. So if you have your Bibles open to where our text is found, and look back at verse 9. There we read, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him," which means begged him, "saying, come over into Macedonia and help us." Now, Macedonia was an area of southeastern Europe, which the Christian missionaries had never before visited. But this special vision from the Lord showed Paul that now was the appropriate time to go there, to bring the word of God to the people of Macedonia. That was the kind of help that the Macedonian man in Paul's vision was requesting. And that is exactly the kind of help that Paul and his fellow missionaries would bring them. Likewise, that is the most important help that you and I can bring to someone who is ignorant of the saving truths of the Bible. Share that precious information with them. Expose them to the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost connected with His Word, which is really the only way that a person can be brought to saving faith. Now, it is true that a person could come to saving faith through simply reading the Bible himself, through his own personal study of the Scriptures, because the converting power of the Holy Ghost is connected with God's Word, even when it's simply read by a person. However, that's not usually the way it works. Usually a person who's an unbeliever who just decides to read the Bible isn't brought to faith that way. Usually, it's not through the word that an unbeliever reads in the Bible, it's usually through the word of God that is preached to the person or taught to the person by someone else. And the reason why that is the case is because it is absolutely crucial that law and gospel be rightly divided and applied, not mixed and confused. An unbeliever who's just reading the Bible on his own is very likely to mix and confuse those two things. We read in the first verse of our text, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." So right after receiving that vision from the Lord, Paul and his fellow missionaries wasted no time in going about doing that important work to which they had been called. They were eager to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God. Just like you and I should also be eager and excited to go wherever the Lord leads us in life, to look for opportunities that He may open before us to impart the spiritual knowledge, the priceless gifts that we know through His Word. Just think about the exceedingly valuable treasure that you have because you know the gospel, which others need, most of whom are completely ignorant of it. So you're in a position to share that important knowledge with them. Yes, the unbelievers are completely ignorant of this great gift of God's grace, the gift that leads to everlasting life in heaven, the only way that a person can be saved from everlasting destruction in hell. So what should you do with that knowledge? Again, if you have any love for your fellow human beings, which God commands you to have, then you'll want to help them. Don't stay silent in the face of their great spiritual need. Look for those opportunities and take those opportunities to bring those people what they need to hear. Now, in most cases, that means that you're first going to have to talk to them about their sins. And that is something that most people feel quite uncomfortable with. But it is absolutely necessary that a person understands his sins before he can appreciate the forgiveness of sins offered in the gospel. Now, really, everyone, if they honestly evaluate themselves, will admit that they're not perfect, will admit that they have sinned. And yet, unbelievers usually do not understand how completely corrupt they are, how completely guilty they are in the sight of God. Nor do they usually already understand the fearful punishment of hell that they deserve because of every single sin they've ever committed, even for one just brief sinful thought. The person deserves to go to hell according to Holy Scripture. So, that's an important thing to teach a person, what the Bible says concerning these things. And you can even quote Scripture, saying, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." And again, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Now, once the law of God has brought the person to an accurate understanding of his lost condition, so that he despairs of his own righteousness, well, then he's ready to hear the gospel. He's ready to hear about the Lord Jesus. He's in the proper frame of mind to appreciate the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And you can then bring the joyous message of God's grace and the gospel of Jesus in such passages as, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." And again, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." This is what true love for your fellow human beings will move you to do, to want to help them in their spiritual need, to follow the example of the Apostle Paul and his fellow missionaries in our text, to extend the kingdom of God's grace. Now, the method that Paul normally followed when he would enter into a new city would be to find the local synagogue, where the Jews and the proselytes would gather on the Sabbath day to hear the reading of the Old Testament scriptures. And then he would give them the great news that the Messiah Savior that they knew about from the Old Testament prophecies, to tell them that he had come and that Jesus is that Christ, the Messiah. However, in this city of Philippi, even though it was the largest city in that area, there was no synagogue. Paul did, however, learn that on Saturday, which was the Sabbath, a group of Old Testament believers, particularly women, gathered outside the city by a river to pray. And so that's where Paul and Silas went. We read in our text, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." Now, how many women were gathered there to hear the word of God? The Bible doesn't say. And of those who did hear Paul's preaching, what percentage of them received his word in a believing heart? The Bible doesn't say. But in the next verse of our text, we do learn of one woman in particular who listened to the preaching of St. Paul and was brought to saving faith in Christ Jesus. We read, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." So Lydia received the word of God with an open heart. But is she the one who opened her heart? Remember what our text says. Our text specifically says that the Lord opened her heart. And that opening of the heart was accomplished, as it always is, through the preaching of the word. The gospel works saving faith in the heart. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is through the gospel that the Holy Ghost works regeneration. The new birth of faith converts the heart, brings a penitent sinner to a knowledge of and trust in Jesus as one's own personal savior from sin. The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That work of enlightening and converting the heart of a human through the preaching of the word has been continued down to this present day through the work of faithful pastors and missionaries and Christian laymen who speak to others about God's word, who confess their faith in the teachings of Holy Scripture. Through the proclamation of his word, law and gospel rightly divided and applied, the Lord works to gather more and more people into his kingdom of grace, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and finally brings them into his kingdom of glory, heaven. Yes, it is God alone who is responsible for bringing a person to faith, and it is God alone who is responsible for building up and strengthening us Christians in the faith. But the work of those who preach his word is crucial. Because God uses the preached word to create and preserve saving faith in the heart. Accordingly, St. Paul writes to the Romans, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This then emphasizes the importance of having faithful pastors, faithful Sunday school teachers, faithful Christian missionaries, faithful Christians who simply talk to their fellow human beings about the Word of God. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, we read, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good things, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, God's church, thy God reigneth. This verse stresses the beauty and glory of the gospel, the good tidings of good things and peace in Christ Jesus, and by association, the beauty of the feet of those who bring that gospel. The feet are especially mentioned because the feet are what bring the messenger near. Thus, we Christians are taught to esteem both the gospel and the pastors who proclaim the gospel. St. Paul writes in his first letter to the Thessalonians, to esteem pastors very highly in love for their work's sake. Now, Lydia greatly esteemed the work of the Apostle Paul in Philippi. And unsurprisingly, she received the sacrament of holy baptism for the strengthening of her faith. And our text makes it clear that it wasn't just she herself, but the rest of her household too. So any relatives and any servants that she had living with her in her house were also baptized. We read, and when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Lydia thus demonstrated her saving faith in Jesus, her gratitude to the work of the Christian missionaries by showing them generous hospitality, inviting them, insisting that they stay with her in her house. And that then became their home base of operation as they continued to preach the word of God throughout Philippi. Clearly, Lydia and her household were greatly blessed to hear the word of God from the Apostle Paul and his fellow missionaries. Similarly, you and I are greatly blessed to have the word of God, to be able to read and study it, meditate upon it. When we come to public worship service with our fellow Christians, and in our own homes. Now, a person who has been so blessed as to find the Savior through the gospel should always remember that this all-important discovery of the heart was not the result of his own diligent study and searching. An unbeliever can decide to read the Bible. An unbeliever can decide to walk into a church and listen to a sermon. But an unbeliever cannot decide to believe what he reads in the Bible or what he hears from the pastor. That can only be worked by God. So, the unbeliever who does, through the power of the word, come to saving faith, is not to credit his own reading and studying. Also, the person who preaches the word, and through that word a person's brought to faith, the preacher doesn't deserve the credit either. It's ultimately God. It's the power of God working through that word. So yes, it's absolutely crucial that a person be exposed to the word of God. It's absolutely crucial that Christians who know the truth share that truth with others to bring them the power of the Holy Ghost operating through that word so that they too can be brought into the saving Christian faith. So may God bless us by keeping us steadfast in the faith through the power of his word, and also bless our proclamation of his word so that others too can be brought into his kingdom of grace. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.